Times when I on second Sunday morning, it's a great blessing to assemble ourselves here at Union Church. On Mother's Day, sometimes you don't know what blessings you'll pick up and what blessings you'll forfeit on that day. Is different ones in your congregation go to be with Mama or come to be with Mama here, and I'm thankful for every one of you that under the sound of my voice this morning. For you mothers, as Brother Joe already mentioned, I salute you and thank God for you. I've heard that old country music song, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." That's not totally true. God rules the world. But from an earthly perspective, yes, I've said before, if there's a Mother's Hall of Fame anywhere in America, the Union Church has its own wing somewhere there. Because we've been beneficiaries of a lot of Proverbs 31 women who have worshiped this church. We, again, thank God for your attendance here this morning. We trust that you come with a prayerful spirit, and what a surprise blessing it was to see Brother PJ and Sister Shan and their beautiful young girls walk in to worship with us today, and I appreciate so much Brother PJ's prayer. If you notice, Brother PJ kind of prayed on my behalf twice, and I appreciate that very dearly. This morning we'll start in Psalm 113. Psalm 113, I'm going to read it to you. It's about 9 verses. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Who is likened to the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He maketh the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord. Yesterday, over at Adams Methodist Church near Auburn, I guess call it Auburn, Mississippi, we had a funeral for Mrs. Stanton L. Long. The principal had hired me at Bogotá School many, many years ago, and a very hard-working man, and he's going to be missed greatly among our school and community. And he had asked me a long time back that when he left this world that he wanted me to conduct his funeral service. And he gave me a lot of things, a lot of material to work with across those years. And one thing about Mr. Long, he grew up in a little community called Grady, Mississippi, up in Webster County. He said it wasn't Eupora. That was a big town in that county. He said it wasn't even Tom Nolan. He said it was Grady, which was just a few people living in that area. And unlike, for the most part, in that area, in that era, his parents were divorced. And he told me that his parents, his mother, received $20 a month child support a week, $20 a week child support from the daddy, and she made $35 a week working at the factory. And he said he never had a birthday party until he met his wife, Miss Rita Calcote Long. And friends, we take a lot of things for granted in this life. I heard a man say, and I can't remember who said it, but he was thankful, he said, that not only does God comfort the afflicted, sometimes he afflicts the comforted. This morning, what I have on my mind is in my heart, I trust, that Brother PJ already prayed that it'd be of the Lord and it'd be a benefit to you, his children, that are gathered here to praise his name this morning. See, he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifteth the needy out of the dunghill, Then he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, Paul writing to the church at Philippi says this, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased," that means to be humble, to brought to a low degree, "and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Some of my favorite people in life and in the sports world, or the ones I cheer for pretty much, are those who've overcome great adversity in their life. They come from very humble beginnings to achieve success in this world, the way this world measures success. One of my favorites is Brother Doug, who know be familiar with this man, Chucky Mullins. Of course, he's deceased now. Come from an orphan from Russellville, Alabama. Came to play football at Ole Miss, and one night in a game against Vanderbilt, he's going to make a tackle and broke four vertebrae in his spinal column and was a quadriplegic. He didn't live much longer after that. The young man he tackled was a running back from Vanderbilt, fullback from Vanderbilt, came from a upper middle class family in Nashville. And I didn't know this morning, as I was reading and studying some things this morning, that Riley Gaines, who's on Fox News quite often, the swimmer that advocates for banning transgender athletes from competing, if you will, men and women sports. Brad Gaines, the one that Chucky Mullins tackled, was her dad. I've been to Chucky Mullins' grave two different times in Russellville, Alabama, very unkept cemetery over there. And one day, I believe the Lord's already raised his soul and spirit, but one day he's coming after the body as well. He'll call him from the dust and make him to sit with princes. I look forward to the day when God does exactly what he promised that he would do, and when he brings us back, when he comes back to this earth to bring us into his presence. And the Bible said in that day he'll wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. The psalmist said, "When I shall awake with his likeness, I shall be satisfied." I look forward to that day when these graves open, and God calls us calls us home to be with him. And that's when the sinning will stop. That's when all the adversity we face in this life will stop. Another athlete that I used to like years ago was a player from the Dominican Republic by the name of Sammy Sosa. Played with the Cubs. I'm a Cardinals fan, so saying you like somebody from the Cubs, Brother Joe, that's kind of baffling, is it not? But you know, he was a home run hitting machine. They asked him one time in an interview if he felt pressure to hit a home run every time he came to the plate. He said, "No, you Americans don't understand what pressure is." He said, "Pressure is when you're 9 years old, you're living in the Dominican Republic, and you're shining shoes, hoping to make enough money to feed your family that day." Friends, aren't you thankful he's brought us out of the dunghill and made us sit with princes? You know, as you look in God's Word, there are a lot of them. We're going to look at Nehemiah in just a minute. You know, Nehemiah means God comforts. But I look at those in the Bible who came from the palace to the wilderness, if you will. I think about Nehemiah, who was cupbearer to the king of Persia, Artaxerxes. And the Lord put it in his heart. That's what he said. He said, "The Lord, I'm going to tell you what the Lord put in my heart to do." And you're already familiar with the story, but we're going to look at it a little bit this morning, the Lord being our helper for a little while. Nehemiah went from the palace to the broken down ruins of Jerusalem. There was another Bible character that I love very dearly by the name of Moses. You remember the account of his life and how from age 7 to age 40, he was raised as an Egyptian. He was very skilled and very learned in the ways of the Egyptians. But the Bible says when he approached the age of 40, it entered into his heart to return to his people, the children of Israel. He came, went from the palace to the wilderness, if you will. But above all, I think about what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth when he said, though he were rich, he became poor, that through his poverty ye may become rich. Let me tell you something, dear friends. It's one thing, and it's very admirable to go from the palace into the battlefield, so to speak. But when I pause and think about in John chapter 6, when the writer there told us that he came down from heaven. You've heard me say before that I have had several people in my life tell me that Sister Karen would come back, particularly when these children were younger. She would come back and if she could. Brother James, I don't believe that. There's only one that left heaven. Because he had a job to do and he came to this earth. And my Bible tells me that the birds of the air have nests, the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. Why would he come down from heaven? That's very contrary to nature to leave a very comfortable place to go to a very uncomfortable place. I'm going to tell you, I love modern comforts. Another one of my, if you'll permit me to say this right now, another one of my favorite athletes of all time was a boy grew up in Kirkwood, Georgia. Very crime-infested community. He lived with his grandmother. 13 people living in a two-bedroom home, and he slept on a pallet on the floor. He got a football scholarship to the University of Tennessee, and he too sustained a career-ending injury, but he's a motivational speaker now, and his name is Inky Johnson. When he got to the University of Tennessee, they asked him, the practice got tough, Brother Joe, and his roommate asked him, he said, man, are you going to stay or are you going to go? He said, what do you mean, stay or go? He said, man, this is tough. He said, I'm thinking about forfeiting my scholarship and going home. He said, let me tell you something. He said, this is the first time I've ever slept in a bed. And the first time the room has been climate controlled, and the first time in my life I've had 3 meals a day. No, I'm not going home. This is home. But he came down from heaven, not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent me. And my Father's will is this, all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Let's go back to the book of Nehemiah. Now, I want to jump way ahead, then we got to go back and get some other things. But in Nehemiah chapter 8, in verse 12, this past, I think it was Thursday night, they had asked me to be the keynote speaker at an academic banquet at Bogachilla School, and gave me a good meal. And they were there to celebrate the students who had all A's on a report card for the first 3-9 weeks of the year. In verse 12, it says this, and all the people went their way to eat. This is Nehemiah 8:12. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions. In other words, to send food to those that didn't have much, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. If you read about right before this, you'll find Ezra the scribe stood up at a wooden pulpit. And taught them out of the book of the law of Moses. And the Bible says that they understood what had been declared unto them. It's a great blessing when we go to the Lord's house and the Lord blesses the minister to speak and we understand what is being declared unto them. Let's tell the parents, that's what we're here tonight. We're celebrating. We're eating and drinking and celebrating. There's great mirth here. There's great happiness here because your children understood what the teacher taught. A little girl in my class one time, you know, junior high, I've taught junior high most of the years, and a lot of crying goes on in the junior high classroom among girls. You let one of them's boyfriend break up with them, or one of them's pet dies, or one moving away, and what's this, you can't get enough Kleenex out there. And This girl was crying in the class one day. I brought her out into the hall, and I asked her what was wrong with her, and she said, Coach Myers, I just can't learn like other children can, and I want to so badly. I couldn't fix that, Brother James. I couldn't fix that. You all have different gifts and abilities and talents. Let's talk about Nehemiah. Before they got to celebrate like this, there was a lot of work to be done. If you go back to the beginning of the book of Nehemiah in chapter 1, you'll find as you read this that Nehemiah was a great leader. Again, his name means God comforts. But at this particular time, his parents had been taken away as part of the Babylonian captivity. You know, the children of Israel in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And his parents were taken captive. And over time, because of his integrity, because of the way he impressed people, he was elevated to the position of cupbearer to Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. His job was to test the wine and the food before it was given to the king, to make sure there was no poisonous, no toxic substance had been added to this, to these things. So Nehemiah is a very trusted servant of King Artaxerxes. He got word that, and if you'll, as you look, you'll find that that he is a man of prayer. Nehemiah is a man of prayer. You'll find that he is a prudent planner. You'll find that he is a confident motivator. You'll find that he is fixated on giving God the glory. You'll find that he is committed to obedience. Now he's in the palace. The winter has passed, and now the spring has come. And he got in word that, look with me in Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And he said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I tell you that there's some in Scripture, like Moses, like Nehemiah, like Jesus Christ, who came from a lofty habitation, if you will, from a palace to the wilderness. You know, the flip side of that, we always enjoy those stories in the Bible where somebody did it the other way. A character in the Bible that I love very dearly, one of the best people to ever live upon the face of the earth that was not the Son of God, was a man by the name of Joseph. And, you know, he went from the pit to the prison to the palace. What about Mephibosheth? He was in a dunghill. He was in Lodabar, Samaritan slum, and we're in the book of 1 Samuel. I can think about chapter 9. David goes to the house of Saul and asks, is there any of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? He said he has a son, Mephibosheth, which means image destroyer, shame breaker, or image breaker, shame destroyer. You know, a lot of times in life, it's sad. I mentioned a little girl in my class who had difficulty learning, and she's not the only one across the years that I encounter like that. But there was a time when if parents had a child that was deficient physically or mentally, that child was pretty much hid from society. But when you talk about Mephibosheth, you remember the encounter there, his grandfather Saul, his daddy Jonathan. One of his uncles was killed the same day in battle, and the nurse was trying to get him to safety and fell with him, and he was 5 years old, fell with him, and he was lame upon his feet. I don't think he ever walked again. He flew away one day, but he never walked again. But that servant Ziba told David, said, yeah, he has a son down in Lodabar, lame on both his feet. You remember what David told him? He said, go fetch him. Because he's going to be continued at the king's table as one of the king's sons. We love banqueting and feasting, don't we? We love the comforts of this life, but there are some that have weathered the storms of this life that never understood the quality of life that we have in America and in our respective homes. Everyone on the sound of my voice this morning is a very blessed individual. And the natural comforts that this world can afford for one thing, but in the fact that you're a purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ, and one day heaven will be your home. But Nehemiah sets forth a good example for us here is as he received the news about Jerusalem, the fact that the enemy had taken it, and the Bible, as I read a few moments ago, said, "It came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God." Now, terrible, you look up King James Version definition of terrible, it's not going to think horrible like we think about in our regular usage today of the English language, but it means awesome. Our great and awesome God, who that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house have sinned. We've dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them into the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Friends, our sins and iniquities will separate us sometimes from the love of God. But when we are willing, the Bible says, if we are willing and obedient, we'll eat the good of the land. If we refuse and rebel, we'll be devoured by the sword. My desire is to please God with my body and my spirit, which belong to him. Sadly, it's very sad to say that I failed miserably in that, Brother PJ. There's times in my life that I'm just disgusted with Mickey, I can tell you. Why do I have the thoughts that I have? Why do I do the things that I do? Friends, I believe from the depths of my heart that this Bible is the inspired Word of God. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen these words. And everything in here is true. Sometimes I wonder why I can't be a little better servant than I am. Why can't I be more pure? You know, Brother Clem used to love that song, "Pure in heart, oh God, help me to be. That thy face one day I may see." What I'm telling you this morning, friends, we're not worthy of the least of his mercies, but yet his grace is sufficient, and he will bring us from the outermost parts of the world. You know, I love hearing Brother Will preach about that when he was here with us on fifth weekend in March. That was a wonderful sermon. He said, "I'll bring you from the uttermost parts of the world. I'll bring you from Lodabar. I'll bring you into my presence, and you can sup with me." That's what I want to do. I want to sup with the King. I want to taste it. I have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and that's my desire, to continue to taste it as I go forth in this life. Friends, my days are passing swiftly by. My journey soon will end. I seek a home beyond the sky. Eternity to spend. Oh, how long to fly away where I can be at rest. Friends, we're a blessed people this morning. We've been beneficiaries of his grace and mercy. You'll find in I'll call it the ABCs of Nehemiah, if I can remember them. The first one is ask the king. Ask the king. Now, in a literal sense, he had to ask the king Artaxerxes first for permission to leave. when he discovered the bad news, when he received the bad news that Jerusalem had been demolished, he said, this is the land of my father's sepulchers. If for no other reason, Union Church and Antioch Church and other churches mean a whole lot to me, Brother Danny, because of who's buried right down the hill down there. I'm indebted to so many of those who have gone before, who are waiting the day when the Son of God will call these sleeping bodies from the dust and call us into his eternal presence. First he asked the king for permission to leave. Then he asked the king to grant him authority to rally his other kings around him so they can provide materials to help us when it's time to rebuild the gates of Jerusalem and the walls of Jerusalem. But the most important thing he did, he asked the king. He asked God. I tell you, it said here in Scripture, certain days he fasted, he wept, he fasted, and he prayed day and night. He sought the king's guidance. And you young people in the congregation that are finishing school and have finished, and I encourage you to ask the king. Ask the king to help you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the other things will be added unto you. I believe you'll have a bed to sleep in. You have food on your table. And I just challenge you, challenge all of us to walk with him. To be Nehemiah. He's a little bit out of order, but I'm going alphabetically, not chronologically. Rise and build. Rise and build. I tell you, he was a very confident motivator of people. You can read the book of Nehemiah, and I encourage you to do that in the coming week. Read the entire book, about 13 chapters, I think. Read Nehemiah, and you'll find a lot more buried treasure than I'm going to bring out to your attention to your day today. I can assure you of that. But what a great leader he was, because he had things in perspective. But rise up and build. I can assure you, some of you in this congregation never worshiped next door. I did. It wasn't as comfortable as this one. Oh, the same spirit was over there. And the joys of the kingdom were over there, but a little more modern conveniences over here. Rise up and build. C is comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone. Sometimes circumstances of life are going to cause us to leave the comfort. So I already talked about some in Scripture, like Moses and Nehemiah, and above all, Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven, left the portals of heaven, right there in the presence of God. You know, he said in the Old Testament, he said he tried the wine press alone, and in the New Testament, it says when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. I love it. I've heard, I don't remember who was preaching about that either, but I think maybe right here. It's interesting to me when the Bible says that he sat down when he finished his work. When he ascended to the Father, he sat down. But how did Stephen see him? Stephen said, I saw him standing at the right hand of God. And I believe that's why Stephen was able to pray as they were stoning him to death, lay not this sin to their charge. Because he saw the Son of God standing. I don't know if the Son of God stands every time one of his children comes home. I won't be surprised if that's the case. But I know one day he's going to leave heaven one more time. And it's not going to take him long. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be all changed and caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. D, develop a plan. You'll find that before Nehemiah went into action, he carefully planned out every aspect of rebuilding. From praying to God to give us the wisdom and the strength and the courage to do it, to speaking to the king about getting materials together for the labor that was before them. He had a plan in place. You know, sometimes these new different Bibles, so like Jeremiah 29, 11, these other versions of the Bible say, I know the plans I have for you. It says here, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Friends, God doesn't plan. He purposed. But it's important for us to plan and to carry out and to execute and to rally ones around us as we sojourn in this earth. Next, we'll talk about a few minutes is enemies. Beware of your enemies. And understand you're going to have them. Now, there were two men specifically mentioned here in Nehemiah named Sanballat and Tobiah. At first, when he heard that Nehemiah, what he had planned to do, what he was purposing in his heart, what God had put in his heart to do, to go rebuild Jerusalem, the Bible says that they were very grieved. They were stricken with grief because there came one to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Friends, that's an important job for the ministers. Brother PJ, Brother James, is to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Spiritual Israel. I'm not talking about natural Israel here. I'm talking spiritual Israel. Pray for our ministers. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. I'm not that old, but there's only two ministers in the Amen Association older than me. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that the Lord has given us young gifts to the church to serve and go in and out among us. And my prayer is that God will reveal His precious truths unto them and give them a great zeal to preach the things of God and to care for the flock. Brother P.J. mentioned his prayer this morning. You know that Union Church has been a city upon a hill for a long time, Brother Jewel. It's been a refuge from a cold, dark world. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm a better person today than I would have been otherwise because of the way the Lord has blessed Union Church. Brother Joe mentioned this morning. A lot of our mothers have gone on. I've got mine here this morning, and I wouldn't take all the money on earth for it. But for those of you who are entertaining those wonderful memories of Mama today, I love you, and I trust you'll find great solace in the nurturing, in the love, with full understanding there's a reunion day coming. Friends, you've heard me say it many times before. You know, Paul said, if I had hope in Christ in this life only, I'd be by all men most miserable. But I believe with every fiber of my being that there's coming a day when no heartache shall come, when the Lord does exactly what He promised that He would do. But we look at these enemies. They said they were grieved because there was one who came to seek the welfare of Israel. And then they began to make fun of them. You know, young people, some people may make fun of your dreams and the things that maybe the Lord has put in your heart to do. But as I tell young people in my walk in a secular world, don't let other people rain on your parade. They may ridicule you. That's what he said first. They asked him, Sanballat said, y'all going to finish in a day? Tobiah said, if a fox goes upon y'all's wall, is it going to crumble down? You know, some of the walls, some of the things we build in this life may crumble, but build anyway. They made fun of them. And they realized as things began to fall in place that we got to go at this in a different way. I think it was five different times they invited Nehemiah to come out into the valley of the plain of Ono. The Bible says to do him mischief. They're probably going to take his very life because he was the leader of this effort to rebuild Jerusalem. Again, because the Lord had put it in his heart to do. Then they sent another messenger to him Nehemiah determined that he had been hired by Sanballat and Tobiah. They told him to go into the temple and hide out there. And I believe that was going to, Brother James, maybe Brother PJ, maybe you Bible scholars can give me more insight into this, but what I understand, what I've gathered from it, that they wanted to tarnish his image, that he was hiding out in the church, so to speak. And what I've researched on that says that it would be implying that the building is more important than the God that we worship. That God could protect Nehemiah right where he was and preserve his life from the enemies that sought to destroy him. They sought to do him mischief, is what the Bible said. As they invited him out into the plain of Ono to meet with them. And then send another to tell him to hide out in the house of God. Yes, the house of God is a refuge. But the primary focus of this assembly, this building we're in this morning, is what? Worship. We come here to worship, not to hide out. Yes, I am. I feel comfortable here, away from the things of this world. I'm a better person at Union Church on Sunday morning than I am in Boca Chica on Monday morning. I can tell you that. The next thing, we go to F. A, B, C, D, E, F. And that's where we're going to stop today. Ask the king. Rise up and build. Leave your comfort zone if necessary. Develop a plan. Identify the enemies or the barriers to accomplishing what it is God has put in your heart to do. It's always interesting to me in my interaction with people. It gives us different gifts and abilities. You know, I taught, Sister Chrissy, I taught junior high school most of the years. There's a lot of people tell me, oh, I couldn't do that. I could never do that. But then the job they have, I couldn't do that. God made us different. He made us unique. He made us special. He made us in His image. And He sent His Son to die for us. And one day, like I said, He's going to leave the second time. He came down from heaven once. He's coming down one more time. And as Brother Wayne Myers, he says, it's not going to take him long. He got a little business to do. He's going to wrap it up quickly and take us home to be with Him. But one thing that motivated and inspired and helped this project, you know, Sanballat said, ask him, are y'all going to finish in a day? No, and Brother Jay, you're not going to graduate from law school in a semester either. Just that simple. Sometimes the requirements, the bar's a little higher. You have to keep plodding along. But again, seek His counsel. Ask the king to help you. Ask him to reveal what it is that he wants you to do. Who that Bible says? Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. You remember the purpose he was going there? He was going there for mischief as well. He was going to find those he called upon the name of the Lord and bring them bound back to Jerusalem to probably be put to death for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. But as he was stricken down and was without his natural sight for 3 days and 3 nights, his spiritual sight became keener than ever. And what did he say? Who art thou, Lord? And what would you have me to do? That's a good question for you young people. Why did the Lord create? He created you in His image. We want you to enjoy happiness and success. We want you to eat and drink and experience great mirth because you understood the things that have been taught to you that are beneficial to you as far as your livelihood, but also, more importantly, that you understood the things that were taught to you from this pulpit. There's no doubt in my mind the things that those precious elders from days past who preached here when I was a little boy, and in my formative years, the things they taught us, the way they instructed us from God's Word was of great benefit to us. And I ask the Lord to continue to bless Elder James kindly and those that go in and out of this congregation. This is so important. It's so important. One reason the Bible points out that they were successful, and they did finish the wall in 52 days, and then they were able to celebrate, but it said in one place in the Bible there that in Nehemiah, I forget exactly, we could turn and find it, but it said they fought for their brethren, their sons, their daughters, their wives, and their houses. We have great motivation to fight the enemies of this world. It's for our brethren. It's for our sons. It's for our daughters. It's for our wives. It's for our houses. For our quality of life that we have in this life. Friends, my desire is, and my advice to you and my encouragement for you is to keep fighting. Grandparents, great-grandparents, parents, we need to be resolved to this, to ask the King to help us, that the world won't get our children or our grandchildren or great-grandchildren. They want them. They want them. But we want them more. Again, some of the most precious families I know are represented under the sound of my voice this morning. But I love you for Christ's sake, and I do encourage you to go read the book of Nehemiah this week. And it's applicable to our life. Spiritual Israel is under attack. Natural Israel is under attack. Things haven't changed much, have they, in that regard? But I trust this morning that we'll continue to pray for those it's our duty to pray for. And we will seek his guidance and counsel and wisdom, that we may honor him all the days of our life until he comes back to bring it to a halt and take us into his eternal presence. If you got anything what I tried to preach this morning, you lay all credit at the feet of the God of this universe. Other things I may have said amiss that were maybe not in direct harmony with the Scriptures, you lay that to my charge. But continue to pray. Ask the King if he'll bless me to receive greater wisdom and greater understanding of the Scriptures, that there may be great mirth as you understand the book of the law. May the Lord bless you. That's our prayer this morning.